Okay, so I'm going to bring up the rear and talk about data analytics and how we can use this in our practice. So as Michael is getting it back to the presentation, how many folks in the room have used some type of tool in their patent prosecution practice, some data analytic tool? A few. So we have a few over here. I know when I started 15 years ago, we were using Examiner Ninja, that one free tool where you can get some very rudimentary information. But I'm sure now you're seeing ads and solicitations every other day for various tools that you could use in your practice. So we're going to go over just a few things today, what data is available, how it can be useful, and then we're going to look at some screenshots and walk through some of the tools that are currently available on the market. So what data is available? You can see here just are just a few examples of what data may be available out there for patent prosecution. The examiner data, art unit data, and of course information you get from PAIR. Now the thing is, this is mostly quantitative information right now. Last night during our Halloween trick-or-treating, there was a group of us and we started talking about machine learning and AI and the impact that's going to have on the legal industry. Now one, I tell you, we really are a fun group, even though we had this conversation during trick-or-treating, but the point was, one of my friends, he is an attorney too, and he said, you know, we're going to be out of jobs in a few years. And I'm like, no, there is still a level of qualitative analysis that a machine cannot do. And even with the training that we're seeing coming about with machine learning and AI, it's not going to be able to do. And even with some of these tools that are currently out, you're starting to see more features that are going to the qualitative side, but it's still not an effect of drafting a response or drafting an application based on an IDF. So that's where we are right now. It's more quantitative, and it is trending some qualitative, but not in a way where we will be out of jobs in 5 years. So good that we're in the IP field and not in the field where my friend is. How can this data be useful? Definitely for just understanding trends, the propensity, and setting expectations with the clients. It can also be useful at the very front end when we're figuring out how are we going to draft these claims, and once you get the claims drafted, what the potential impact, or you know, what class is this going to be set in potentially? Are there going to be potential 112 rejections based on how I've drafted it? So there's some things that you can do on the front end before you even file the application with the patent office. And then, of course, once the application is there, figuring out potential strategy based on information that you're seeing with respect to the examiner, the art unit, and the response category and the appeal category. And then with setting expectations with your clients. You know, let's say you have this high-value case that the client wants to get through quickly. Once you get it at the patent, you file it at the patent office, you see what class it's been assigned to, you get your examiner assignment, you look that information up, and if it's an examiner who it takes 4.5 office actions to get the case through, usually on average, you know, you consider what could we potentially do to change that. You know, there's some information that I'll look at in a little bit with respect to how CIPs impact the examiner assignment. Maybe you could file a CIP without having any new matter and have a good chance of getting a new examiner if you needed to get it through a little quicker. So there's some things that you can do and techniques you can apply in order to help with your expectation setting and in your strategy moving forward to get a case through. So here are some tools that are available right now, separated by those that are for free and for purchase. We're going to talk through the ones that are highlighted in red. I have some screenshots so we can walk through some of those capabilities. And then the two on here that are with respect to how you could use them on the front end when you're filing, those two at the bottom, Patent Optimizer and Pathways under the tools for purchase. So Patent Optimizer is something that you can use for like a quality control check once you get the application drafted. Looking at antecedent basis, determining whether there's consistency in the claims, et cetera. So that's one tool that we've used in our firm, and that's been helpful with those matters. And then Pathways is another tool that LexisNexis has come out with, and that's going to predict which tech center the application may land in. So if you have a data processing type application, and based on how you've written it, you can run it through Pathways to figure out if you will likely be in 3600, or if you could do some things differently in how you've written it to get into another tech center. Okay, so let's start off with Juristat. This is one of our paid-for tools. It's a very rich software tool. This is just the initial screenshot that you'll see once you run an examiner search. And so what I did is I ran a search for examiner Tuan To. You can see here he happens to be, maybe you can't see it, but I'll tell you, he is in the 3600 art unit. Now, what's interesting is you see 3600, but then you see at the bottom allowance rate of 85%. That seems pretty high for 3600. Well, as you know, 3600 extends beyond data processing, financial tools, et cetera. There are some automotive technology categories in 3600, and Examiner To happens to be in that group, which is why, really, his allowance rate has been so high. It's a good time to get through the office. It's not too long, with 2.3 office actions on average to get an examiner.